Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. This is Andrew Colvett, executive producer of The Charlie Kirk Show, filling in once again for Charlie today. The jam-packed hour in store for you. You're not going to want to miss it. I start off with the absolutely disgusting display out of Washington. And when I tell you that I'm upset, I'm very, very upset. And I'm trying to hold back my emotion. The $40 billion that the House just voted for, and only 57 Republicans voted against it. Are you kidding me? I have the details. And I bring Jack Posobiec on to talk about the Trump endorsement. Is it alive and well? Is it challenged? What happened in the primary votes last night? We break it down for you one by one. And he also dishes a little bit on a certain primary candidate for Senate in the state of Pennsylvania that you're not going to want to miss. We have the receipts. We have the tape all right here on The Charlie Kirk Show. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com.
All right, so I want to start with this story that came across the wire last night. And I have to be honest, it's been a while since I have been this upset. This just viscerally upset about something. There is a bipartisan consensus in Washington to escalate a foreign conflict for which there are no clear benefits for the American people. Last night, the House approves $40 billion in aid for Ukraine. That's right, $40 billion in Ukraine. The aid package passed in a 368-57 vote. Only 57 Republicans voted against this. The legislation includes $6 billion for security assistance, including training, equipment, weapons, logistical support, supplies and services for military and national security forces in Ukraine, and $900 million for refugee support services such as housing, language classes, and trauma services. Roughly $8.7 billion of the cash in the legislation will go to the Economic Support Fund to respond to emergent needs in Ukraine, including budget support and countering human trafficking. Well, that's nice. So the U.S. government is very concerned about human trafficking on Ukraine's border, but not so much on our own. I am going to simply get started by allowing Representative Chip Roy to articulate some of the frustration that I am currently in possession of. I think I voice the concerns of millions of Americans when we see a number as high as 40. Now remember, Biden wanted $33 billion, which was insane in and of itself. And I'm going to explain just how insane that is in a second. But let's let Chip Roy take it from here. It's cut 76.
Someone from Maryland talked about protecting this institution or talked about this institution, but we got a $40 billion bill at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I haven't had a chance to review the bill. My staff is pouring over the pages trying to see what's in it. You want to talk about the institution? You want to talk about standing up alongside Ukraine? Why don't we actually have a debate on the floor of the People's House instead of the garbage of getting a $40 billion bill at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, not paid for, without having any idea what's really in it, with a massive slush fund that goes to the State Department, $13 billion, $8 billion for the Economic Support Fund, $110 million for embassy security. We've got $40 billion that is unpaid for, and you want to sit here and lecture this body about what we're going to do or not do about standing alongside Ukraine? Why don't we talk about the American people who are hurting, the wide open borders, the inflation that's killing people, the jobs that people can't get because of the cost of goods and services in this country?
Amen. So let's go through this. February 26, Biden approves $350 million in military aid for Ukraine, according to Reuters. March 16th, Biden approves an additional $800 million in military aid for Ukraine, according to the New York Times. March 30th, Ukraine to receive an additional $500 million in aid from the U.S. Biden announces, that's NBC News. April 12th, U.S. to announce $750 million more in weapons for Ukraine, officials say, according to Reuters. May 6th, Biden announces new $150 million weapons package for Ukraine. Altogether, those amounts are in excess of $3 billion. But by the end of April, U.S. expenditures on the war in Ukraine was close to $14 billion. Now, that was drawn mostly from $13.5 billion that was authorized by Congress in mid-March. Now, here's the real rub. Remember that we are only 8 months removed from the awful, cataclysmic, disastrous, embarrassing Afghanistan debacle. 8 months removed. Now, what had been a cash cow for the defense industry and the military-industrial complex in this country washed up overnight. Now, the average annual budget in Afghanistan, this is average over the 20-year war, the average annual budget, military budget in Afghanistan was $46 billion. Let me say that again, $46 billion. In a 10-week-old war, the U.S. government has now promised to allocate in excess of our average military spend in Afghanistan. Consider this as well. The current Defense Secretary, Lloyd Austin, just before joining in the Biden administration as the Secretary of Defense, he sat on the board of Raytheon. Now get this. Of that that original $13.5 billion, $6.5 billion, roughly half the package. And we're not even talking about this new $40 billion. We're still sorting through where the hell that's going. But that original $14 billion, about $6.5 billion, or roughly half the aid package, would go to the U.S. Department of Defense so it could deploy troops to the region and send defense equipment to Ukraine. So then Biden asked for $33 billion more. That was more than double the 14 that I was just describing. Now, even the White House is acknowledging that the vast majority of this spending packages will go to weaponry and other military assets. I want you to also consider this. Russia, the great evil Russia that we are told is an existential threat to the United States and our interest. The country, admittedly, that has the largest stockpile of nuclear weapons. Guess what their annual military budget is for the entire year? Their entire budget, $65.9 billion. So we are already over $50 billion, nearly equaling the entire defense budget of Russia in a 10-week-old war, after only 8 months being removed from the Afghanistan debacle. What does that tell you about the people in Washington? What does that tell you about the military-industrial complex? What does that tell you about who's greasing the skids for the defense industry? I am upset, would be too kind of a word. I'm flaming mad that this is our priorities.
How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Iron Man thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, relieffactor.com. You should order the 3-week quick start too. Discount only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. Check it out right now.
We are talking about Ukraine and this disastrous $40 billion, which the controlled opposition Republicans put their imprimatur on last evening. $40 billion when the White House was only requesting 33. We are now on the verge of exceeding, in a 10-week-old war, the entire military budget of Russia on an annual basis. In a 10-week-old war. Now, if this was Afghanistan, where we used to spend about $46 billion a year on that war, there would be, of course, some understanding that a vital security interest of the United States was at least in play. It was at least a debatable conversation. Now, we here on this show disagreed with extending the war in Afghanistan. We called it a boondoggle. We called it a mistake. We wanted to get out of Afghanistan. We certainly didn't want to get out the way that the Biden administration got us out. That was a disaster and an embarrassment and a moral travesty on this country. But at least there was an argument that could be had. Now, what is the argument in Ukraine beyond the $14 billion that we had already earmarked? There seems to be this bipartisan consensus that this is the way that things must go. To illustrate that point, I want to play a cut for you, cut 71. This is Mitch McConnell saying that this Ukrainian conflict is the most important issue in the world right now. Play cut 71.
We all agree the most important thing going on in the world right now is the war in Ukraine. We need to do this Ukraine only and quickly. I think we're on the path to getting that done. Discussions are underway between the House and Senate appropriators on the crafting of the package. It needs to be clean of extraneous matters directly related to helping the Ukrainians win the war.
This bipartisan consensus could care less about your interests, could care less about a baby formula shortage, could care less about inflation that's spiraling out of control still, despite the Biden regime insisting that it's slowing. We hit another record high gas price today. Average is now at $4.40 across the country. So you heard from the Republican establishment, Mitch McConnell, talking about how it's the most important issue. What does Pelosi have to say? What do the Democrats have to say? Cut 74.
The impact that it is having on food for the world. So when you're home thinking, what is this all about? Just think about when I was hungry, you fed me.
Yeah, that's right. So she's quoting the Gospel of Matthew to make a pitch for, at least from what we can dig through in these numbers, $20 billion more going into the pockets of the defense industry. Now, again, this is causing such a draw on military stockpiles for the United States military, such as javelins, warheads, that sort of thing, that they're now having to lobby. The regime is having to lobby the defense industry to create more capacity. So what does the White House do? The White House has met with them on several occasions, the tiny group of Americans who benefit from this massive expenditure. They have met with the top U.S. defense officials, the top 8 CEOs in the U.S. defense industry, all to discuss increasing capacity. Top U.S. defense officials will meet with chief executives of the 8 largest U.S. defense contractors to discuss industry capacity to meet Ukraine's weapons needs if the war with Russia continues for years. You see that? So we got out of one boondoggle that lasted 20 years, an absolute neocon mistake of the Bush administration that was continued on for years and years and years. And now we are preparing for another boondoggle that will actually be more expensive in a war that is apparently not our own. And yet Speaker Pelosi just visited Ukraine. And what did she have to say? She said, we will win this war at all costs. And then she goes and quotes the Gospel of Matthew to defend it. On May 3rd, Biden visited Lockheed Martin facility and praised the plant that manufactures Javelin anti-tank missiles, saying their work was critical to the Ukrainian war effort and to the defense of democracy itself.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow are offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now is the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six pieces of towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com and use promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. You'll also receive Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase. Call 800-875-0425 or go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Again, that is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. My friend Mike Lindell has this offer coming. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. Again, you'll also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase. So check it out right now, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk.
We just got through with Ukraine. A man who has a lot of thoughts on Ukraine, I'm sure, is Jack Posobiec, Human Events Daily. Jack, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Andrew, thank you so much for having me on.
Jack, I sort of teased you in a false way there because we can get to Ukraine. Maybe we'll get that in segment two because I know we have.
We could talk about the America Last spending bill that was just pushed forward by 70%. 70%, 149 of 211 in the House GOP voted for this thing. America
Listen,
Last.
Launch into it. Give me your take.
I don't usually quote Tupac, but I might have to drop a few bars because Tupac, I think, famously said, you know, they got money for wars, but they can't feed the poor, right? And we're in that situation right now where literally I've got friends with newborns or babies, and they can't find baby formula. They're like, you got grandmoms circling, you know, hitting up Targets and Walmarts across the Midwest, across Pennsylvania, and we can't feed our own children. We can't prevent incursions on our own southern border. But we're going to spend $40 billion of your dollars and send it overseas to a war in Eurasia where there is no American direct national interest. That's
exactly
your government.
Right. That's exactly
That's
right.
That's America
and,
Last.
And it's a bipartisan consensus, which is the most infuriating part.
Well, the thing for me, the way I look at it, though, real quick, is that it's 30% that voted against it. But you know what? 5-6 years ago, that would have been 5%. So that number is growing.
Okay.
That's the momentum shift.
Listen, and this is why we need to back America First candidates. This is why Turning Point USA has
100%.
Launched its own PAC because we're sick of this crap. And, you know, I don't use I try not to use heated language this morning. I just simply cannot help myself.
Andrew, tone it down. This is a family show. This is a Christian show.
Exactly. Listen to this. I mean, listen, I'm not for big government handouts. I'm not for bloated government welfare rolls and all this stuff. But let's just if we're going to be consistent, look at this. Almost 30 million Americans are without health insurance. Okay. I thought that was the Democrats' big issue here. Nearly 40% of baby formula brands were sold out of retailers across the U.S. starting the week of April 24th. Most Americans can't afford college because of the administrative bloat, because of easy money from the federal government, massive student loan debt. So now we're going to have to bail that out, too. How about this? Meanwhile, monthly poverty remained elevated in February 2022 with a 14.4% poverty rate for the U.S. total U.S. population. Get this. Overall, 6 million more individuals were in poverty in February relative to December. And we got $40 billion, or we don't have it. We're going to borrow it. We're going to print it to send javelins to Ukraine in a war that we don't have a direct interest in. Although Nancy Pelosi, Jack, says we're going to win this war at all costs because that's what the American people apparently want.
Well, I love how she said, you have to, when I was hungry, you fed me. So she's quoting the Gospel of Matthew when it comes to this. Devout Catholic Nancy Pelosi quoting the Gospel of Matthew, right? You know, all praise and supplication to Saint Raytheon the Blessed, by the way. Last time I checked, I want to know, Secretary of Defense Austin, he came from the board of Raytheon.
That's
and he
exactly
told
right.
us that he wasn't going to be divesting of his stocks in Raytheon, but he was going to put it into a blind trust. Really, I'd like to know, how much are you actually profiting from every single javelin that goes over? How much money goes into Lloyd Austin's pocket and the pockets of everybody else that's on the take from these defense contractors?
That's
It would be nice to know. That's like There's that thing. I think it was a Democrat thing where they were saying, but I agree with this one, actually, where they say that politicians should wear their sponsors on their jackets the same way NASCAR drivers do. So you could see, like, whenever they come up and speak, you see like Raytheon, Lockheed, BlackRock, you know.
Gosh, it's so infuriating.
Pfizer.
I mean, you know, it'd be one thing, Jack, I could actually stomach a lot of this if they had the border locked down, if they had an immigration system that actually worked. And we, you know, this is what's so frustrating. Millions of dollars.
If this was to bomb the cartels and it was to actually go after the cartels and secure the border, $40 billion, take $50 billion. Go for it, right? Because that actually would secure our country. It would save the lives of Americans in the long run. It would stop the flow of illegal and fatal fentanyl into our country. You guys want to secure that all day long? I just wanted to build a wall. All I wanted was $5 billion for that. You guys are talking $40, $50? Let's do it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I mean, I think Trump was asking for $15 billion. I think it realistically would have ended up costing between $20 and $25 billion to get it all the way completed. Nevertheless, sure. You've got Senator Menendez saying, oh, well, this isn't going fast enough through the Senate. He's worried it's not going fast enough. And, you know, the shrewd Republicans are basically arguing over additional COVID funding of another $25 billion. And that's what they're complaining about. He said, I thought this was going to be grease lightning. Are you kidding me? Now, I love that you brought up the bombing of the cartels, because that was the big we actually haven't talked about it on the show this week, but it was the big controversy over the weekend that, you know.
Well, what's funny is they tried to make it a controversy so they started it out, and you saw you study the media closer than anybody, even closer than me and Charlie, I think sometimes. People don't know that about you, Andrew. And that what they were doing with the wind up to this, you could see the classic setup. So first you see the Maggie Haberman piece in the New York Times drops. She gets the scoop. Then the 60 Minutes interview comes out, and they tease, this is key, they tease the 60 Minutes interview with the exact same content that's in the New York Times piece. So you can see the magic hand of PR, the invisible hand of PR working in the background to set up all this. But the problem was that for them was that when the New York Times piece hit, everybody was like, yeah, bomb the cartels. Yeah. Absolutely. Why wouldn't we do that?
You actually had some voices on the, I would say, center right. And I mean that sort of in the center, like Eric Erickson, for example, saying, actually, that's not a bad idea. You know, I mean, that was right. the broad consensus that we were experiencing. Jack, I honestly could rant about this for the entire segment. And, you know, perhaps I should. But I did tease that we were going to talk about the Trump endorsement. Okay, we had some big primaries last night.
Yes.
And by the way, it's all related, right? You're saying that, listen, 5 years ago, we would have had 7 no votes, and now we got 57, okay? So it's like, if we're going to continue this momentum and put up a firewall against this America Last agenda, this bipartisan—
Wait, so we got numbers, right? Yeah, we got numbers now.
Yeah, exactly. At least we're gaining momentum. The conservative populist wing, if you might call it that, is growing. What happened last night? We had Nebraska. We've got updates out of Pennsylvania, West Virginia. Tell us what happened.
Well, so West Virginia, that was pretty much a clear-cut shot in that race where you had establishment versus a Trump candidate. The Trump candidate, Alex Mooney, won in spades. Huge, huge win there. Nebraska, a lot of people were trying to read that as whether or not it was the Trump endorsement was the magic sauce or whether it wasn't. And people also tried to talk about that in terms of the J.D. Vance victory in Ohio last week. But I would caution that when it comes to Ohio, because— I know JD, I know Josh, both very well. JD Vance was already a very known quantity in the state of Ohio, right? He had number one best-selling book all about the people of Ohio. He had the number one movie on Netflix with Glenn Close and Amy Adams, right? He's a big, big name in Ohio. So I think the danger of some of these races is trying to view them all through the lens of the Trump endorsement when there's a lot of dynamics going on the ground in the state that are actually also at play. I mean, voters are busy, but they're not stupid, right? And so you have the exact same thing in the state of Nebraska, because you've got this huge jungle primary kind of thing going. Well, not jungle in the sense that it's top two, but just a lot of people involved. And so Pillen was the establishment candidate. Then you had Landstrom, who was more of a moderate candidate. And then the MAGA candidate was this guy, Herbster. Now, what's interesting, so Herbster loses by about 6 points. But the establishment up there, which is really controlled by the Ricketts machine, Governor Pete Ricketts and his family, they were the financial success behind TD Ameritrade. They endorsed Pillen, but then something very interesting happened. Herbster originally had a running mate known as Teresa Thibodeau, and she was, I believe, a state senator and then was running as his LG. Late last year, she dropped out of the race as his running mate. Then a couple of months later, comes back and says that she's running for governor. And then she exclusively campaigns. And I was just in Nebraska. Nebraska is two states. It's two states. You got the West, and that is like Yellowstone out there. If you watch the TV show in 1883, and they've got the wagon wheels and the cattle, and that is Western Nebraska. Eastern Nebraska, Omaha, that's the Midwest. It's a completely different vibe. So a candidate like Herbster does well in the West, a candidate like Pillen does well in the East. But what did Thibodeau do? She went and campaigned exclusively in the West, and she went directly for those Western Nebraska MAGA voters and split that base. And guess what her percentage was? If you 6.1%. Look, it was exactly 6.1%. And so, the voters are the voters.
Yeah, Jack, so it looks like Charles Herbster got about 28.6% of the vote, losing to Jim Pillen at 33.4%. So you add those two together, yes, exactly, you've got 34.7%. He wins by about a point.
Right. So you take out Thibodeau, it goes back. Now, of course, people always say it's dangerous to make those arguments because you don't know if those voters would have automatically associated with another candidate, et cetera. Sure, I get that. But this was part of the strategy. It was part of the strategy to split the MAGA vote so that an establishment candidate could win. And in this case, that's what happened. Of course, you can't talk about that race without talking about this huge scandal that, you know, erupts in the media against Herbster, women coming out, accusing him of things. You know, reminds a lot of people of what happened to Trump in 16, reminds a lot of people of what happened to Kavanaugh when he came up. And I'm not, you know, making any judgment statement based on those. I'm just saying this is the same type of playbook that we've seen.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I want to play some sound here. I think Trump, even just to finish your point, Jack, said there was a lot of headwinds. And so I think you articulated those very well. So as we dive into the Trump endorsement here, let's play a cut. Cut 68, talking about, this is poll numbers out of PA.
Is there a Pennsylvania race coming up? Is there something going on in PA?
Might be. I want to keep your powder dry on this, Jack, because I know you got a lot to say about the Oz race. So let's go ahead and play cut 68.
And we saw that here in our poll, the Fox News poll that just came out last night. Trump's endorsement makes you more supportive or less supportive of Oz. It was 37% more supportive. So we saw that there no effect with 37%. But then there's this one, which is what matters most to you when you're choosing a candidate. Can the person win in November? 62%. Is this person really from Pennsylvania? Interesting question you have to ask, right? At 35%. And is it strong Trump supporter, 27%.
So, Jack, as you were kind of articulating, there's multiple dynamics in every endorsement, right? But what you cannot say is that the Trump endorsement doesn't mean anything. It might be
the
one endorsement that actually does mean something, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Pennsylvania, that's my state. So that's my home state. I'm from the area that's in eastern Pennsylvania. But again, similar to Nebraska, Pennsylvania is a state with two minds, where you've got eastern Pennsylvania, which is full of people who, just put it this way, they do not vote how I do. That was not the part of the state that was the Trump base in 16 or in 20. That's really more western Pennsylvania.
Have you noticed that it's becoming more expensive to take care of your overall health? That's why I love my friends over at Centurion Labs. They've combined vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, copper, and quercetin in one pill to save you money. It's called the Centurion Defender. It defends all your immune systems against allergies, cold, the flu, and the Chinese coronavirus. Who knows when the next wave will hit, and we want your immune system to be prepared. All you have to do is take the Defender with breakfast and one Defender with dinner and keep living your life. Now is the time to defend your health, your save money, and support a company that shares Christian values and loves this country. Check out Centurion's website, and they have all kinds of health supplements. Whether you're struggling to get pregnant, desire a healthy pregnancy, need a cough medicine to get you back to work, wish to have an energy drink that is actually healthy for you, or want to defend your overall health, Centurion can help. They have dedicated the last 15 years to research to develop a safe, effective, and affordable product made in America that you can trust. For a limited time, Kirk listeners can save 20% off their first order of Defender when you go to CenturionLabs.com/Kirk and use promo code Kirk. That's CenturionLabs.com/Kirk. Promo code Kirk. That's CenturionLabs.com/Kirk. CenturionLabs.com/Kirk. Promo code Kirk.
Jack, there's this whole primary race in the senatorial side, GOP, right, in Pennsylvania. You might have heard something about it.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. All right. We're tongue-in-cheek here, folks, because Jack Posobiec has probably been the most vocal critic on the right about one of Trump's endorsements. Now, I just want to say right here now, obviously, we love the president, President Trump. He's been on the show multiple times. He's friends with Charlie. I'm not denigrating the president here. But, Jack, you have some pretty strong opinions.
Well, so this is what puts me in a weird situation because, you know, I was a day one Trump supporter even before the elevator, right? You know, I remember being at CPAC in 2011 when Trump spoke on stage and saying, man, I wish this guy was running instead of Romney, right? That's the guy that I want to see as president. So I was a Trump supporter like way even before the campaign. And then when Oz got into the race after Sean Parnell dropped, I immediately said no to this. I was an Oz opponent months before any endorsements came down. And so when the endorsement came down, and I had been going through Oz's record and we were looking at his TV show, and this guy, I mean, he's an Oprah Winfrey liberal, right? He's just a liberal, right? It's simple as that. He's got transgender kids episodes. He's got red flag episodes, you know, all sorts of the stuff that 1600 episodes and never said one conservative thing in his life.
Well, Jack.
And so when the endorsement came down, I basically said, look, I'm not going to change my position on this just because something shifted in the dynamics. Like I can't do that.
Yeah. And Jack, I want to play a cut here. 85. You actually sent this ahead of the show. So I want to give your legwork here some due.
So,
cut 85.
Now, what are your thoughts on Alabama and these anti-abortion laws that they're passing in Alabama? Well, that they've passed.
Is that healthy?
I'm really worried about it. I tell you, I've taken care of a lot of women who've had issues around childbirth. It's big time concern because I went to medical school in Philadelphia and I saw women who'd had coat hanger events. I mean, they're really traumatic events that happened when they were younger before Roe versus Wade.
So, Jack, what is he saying now about abortion? This was three
years
ago.
Well, now he comes out and says that I'm pro-life from the moment of conception. He's saying it's like he read a book on what a conservative candidate is supposed to say, and he's just repeating all those lines, even though it's the exact opposite of everything that he espoused throughout his entire public life for, you know, going back 20 years. And, you know, I may not talk about it every day. I may not always get into it because it's not always in the news. But, just to be very clear about something, as a Christian, for me, being pro-life that's not one of those issues that I can really equivocate on, right? That's not really something where I'm willing to, you know, accept the halfway thing with someone saying, oh, you know, up to 9 months is fine. And Roe v. Wade. No, like I can't meet you halfway there. I just can't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that for me, they're like, why should that be a litmus test? Because it's literally a litmus test.
Well, and when people talk about things like that, I mean, I totally agree with you, Jack. I feel the same exact way. I'm a father of two children. I know you're a father as well. When you go through the process of having a child, it changes you fundamentally. When you go in for that first ultrasound and you see the heart beating and you
I still have the MP3 recorded, yes, of my son's heartbeat
too,
the first
me
time
too.
He heard it. And we listen to it all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it changes you. And so I agree we can't equivocate on it. You know, that being said, Trump himself kind of had his own transformation in over his political career or his public career. And but here's the difference. You've got a guy in Trump who put three justices on the Supreme Court that are about to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Right. And Trump did the work, right? When people make that argument, and I've heard so many arguments about why you should be for Oz, and they bring this one up. Trump did the work for years of coming into the Tea Party movement, coming into the conservative movement, speaking at CPAC, doing, you know, making the rounds, explaining to people that he was shifting on a lot of different things that he had, you know, may have said in his Playboy days. And it was a much more reasonable and natural understanding that he was going to be the greatest pro-life president that we've ever had, which he was, by the way.
Only one to speak at the March for Life, too.
Yeah, he's the only one who's ever spoken at the March for Life. And Oz just changes the day he decides to run for office. And so I'm sorry. No, like I just don't buy it.
All right, Jack, you got Dr. Oz at 23%, Barnett 21% coming out of nowhere, and McCormick at 19%.
She blew it up at those debates. She's got the wind behind her sails, a lot of momentum, and it's really because Dr. Oz just has not been able to close the deal. And we'll see next week. We will see. But everybody in my family chat back home in Pennsylvania, they're voting for Barnett right now.
I'll tell you what, Jack, you have definitely had an impact on this race. I think it's undeniable. Jack, I wish I had more time with you. As always, thanks for coming on the show.
God bless, my friend.
Thanks, everybody, so much for listening. I hope you got a lot out of that. I hope you raise heck, just leave it at that, with your elected officials in Washington. Tell them to send, actually, tell them not to spend money at all. Tell them if they're going to spend it, spend it on the southern border. Write letters, raise some hell. There I said it. And if this show means anything to you, if you get your news here, if it blesses you, it blesses your family, please consider supporting us. CharlieKirk.com/support. CharlieKirk.com/support. Become a monthly supporter. Help us help this country. It means the world to us. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to CharlieKirk.com.